Hey, welcome to the Wedding Community Podcast. This is episode 2, but really this is like our first episode, so I just want to quickly introduce myself again. I am Travis Heberling. I am a photographer and videographer located in the Chicagoland area. On today's episode, we are featuring Blair. Blair is a wedding planner located here locally as well in Chicago area. On today's episode, we are going to talk about things that are going to be beneficial for other wedding planners. So things like packages and pricing and working with couples, but also topics that will appeal to everyone. And so one of the topics that we are going to get into today is just how to get on a wedding planner's list. For us, one of the most common referrals that we get for our business is from wedding planners. And so being on that list is super important. So we'll talk about that and we'll get into that. And we'll get into a bunch of other things too. This is a really great episode. This is actually one of my favorites, but it's also one of the first. So maybe that's why it's one of my favorites. I don't know. But anyhow, let's hop right in and get started. So welcome back, and we are joined today by my friend and wedding planner, Blair, with BW Studio Events. She's located in the Chicagoland area, and she has been at this for about 6 years, right? I think, yep, 6 years. And we met back in 2019, I believe, on a wedding. So now, you know, as for us creatives, working with a planner can be very hit or miss sometimes. Sometimes a planner gets it. Sometimes they don't. You know, like sometimes they schedule things very close together and they don't realize we need more time than that. But for Blair, it was definitely on the hit. So she definitely knocked it out of the park with the wedding that we worked. And ever since then, we've stayed connected and I've been following her work and she does great stuff. So I will pass it over to Blair. Blair, could you introduce yourself?
Hi, thank you so much. Yes, I'm Blair Warfel, owner and lead designer, and I've been doing this for about 6 years. I started actually in nonprofit. I was an interior designer for 13 years. So me and my friends started a nonprofit where we worked with kids and building forts and doing art and design with them. And after a few years of hosting all those banquets and fundraisers and things like that for the nonprofit, people just started slowly asking me to do their personal events. So, you know, bridal shower here, baby shower there, little wedding here, little wedding there. And it just sort of escalated kind of overnight. One event became five became 10, 10 was 20. You know, now we're solidly booked every year. You know, we're well out in 2022 right now. So it's been pretty exciting. It's been a wild ride, but I've enjoyed it.
That's awesome. So what got you into doing weddings?
So I guess it was just, I really love doing the fundraisers and banquets and events, but you know, at the end of the day, banquets aren't that fun. People are only, you know, they're donating money and they're, you know, they're writing checks and they're listening to long presentations and, you know, there's a level of excitement, but at the same time, it's definitely not the same party that a wedding is. So after doing my first couple small events and parties and weddings, I was like, these people are having the time of their life. This is so much better. This is so much more fun. You're there on people's, like, their most important day. They're, you know, they're really investing in this event for themselves and their family. So it just really hit that button of, I love big problem solving. I love logistics. So the problem solving aspect of being able to time it all perfectly and see it all happen beautifully, but then also, you know, get my hands dirty and get into the design element of it. And, you know, working with my client to come up with a perfect concept and seeing it just come to life.
That's awesome. Yeah, definitely. You know, I've been able to do a little bit in the non-for-profit events, and there's been a few I've done that were pretty crazy, but for the most part, they're definitely much more buttoned up than a wedding. And yes, not that like weddings are like, you know, outrageous things happening all the time either, but there's just something kind of special. You know, they're just two different categories. You know, like a non-for-profit, they're throwing this big event to raise money for kind of whatever they're doing and, you know, try to get awareness and things like that. Whereas like a wedding, it's a celebration, you know, you're celebrating two people coming together, all their family gathering. And there's just this joy that comes from it. And even in myself, like, you know, doing both commercial side and weddings, I do love doing commercial work, but nothing beats a nice wedding, you know, like just the joy people have. And even just the products and the services we're providing, they're going to impact them for their life. You know, it's not just about raising money for something or awareness. It's about, you know, these memories and being able to help them, you know, to capture that and allow the event to happen as they always dreamed, you know?
Exactly. Yep. It's a lot the same in the wedding realm. It's that, going from nonprofit to weddings it was just such a stark change. You know, these people, you know, year after year, we have to do this exact same event. We have to reimagine it. We have to come back. We have to get more money. We have to get more attendance. Whereas weddings, like, boom, party, we're done. And, you know, they're happy. They write a review. They were, you know, refer to me, their friends, and they move on with their lives. You know, maybe if I'm lucky, we have a bridal shower or a baby shower, you know, a couple months down the road or a couple years down the road. But yeah, it's kind of one and done. So it feels very climactic once it's over.
Now, I know that you have a background in interior design. So I'd love to just kind of hear about how that has benefited your wedding couples with you having that knowledge and that background.
Oh, totally. Yeah, it has been such an asset to my clients so far. When I tell people that I was an interior designer and a project manager in the interior design realm for 13 years, they're like, oh, you're my girl. Like, I need you. I'm a whiz with, like, layouts and floor plans and flow and timing and even analyzing that back to the budget and how that can, you know, affect the bigger picture. And all my clients have really, really appreciated that insight up until now. Ironically, I did commercial design, so it was a lot more like big picture. Like, how do students move from, you know, coming into the entry of their school building? Like, how do they work through the school building and then back out at the end of the day? What's that kind of flow like, that momentum, that timing? And these were things that we worked with and did all the time in interior design. So I loved it. And it really allowed me to have a different perspective when I think about the wedding day and these, like, big chunks and big milestones that have to happen and how much time it takes to get from A to B, how much time it takes to get everyone settled down. If I can get 300 people, you know, a third of those being, you know, under the age of 12, kind of settled down for a presentation, you know, I can get your 100 closest family and friends settled down for some speeches. So it's been an asset, truly. And my clients have all, like, jumped at it. They're like, oh, I need help. You know, I have no idea how to lay out the tables. I have no idea, you know, how big this should be, or do I have enough clearance? And, you know, I have clients that are like, yeah, I want to go to 3 different photography spots before the reception. I'm like, all right, let's look at this. Let's talk this through. You know, anything's possible with enough planning. We just, you know, sometimes something's got to give, and that's where that, like, realism comes in. I don't scoff at just saying, like, that ain't going to happen. It's not going to work. But I try and make it always work for my clients and find a way to, you know, bring that dream to reality and, you know, manifest it for them. So it's definitely been an asset, and it always sparks an interesting conversation. Be like, oh, that sounds like a fun job. It's a lot of paperwork. They don't tell you that in interior design school, is that you really just sit around doing paperwork all the time. Design is like 10 to 15% of the job. Most of it's just paperwork. So this is actually a more fun and creative career and gives me a much better outlet than interior design ever did.
That's great. Kind of what you were speaking on, like, with helping, you know, the couples and everything. What I love about your process is you're not afraid to kind of explain to them, like, no, like, you don't have enough time to do, you know, 3 photo stops in the city of Chicago. You know, like, it's not going to be possible to do that in 30 minutes. You know, whereas we worked with some planners where maybe they're newer, they're a little timid. So they want to, like, give their couples what the couples want. But sometimes what the couple wants is not actually, like, what they want, you know, like, it's like, they don't understand, like, the logistics of what goes into it. And I love that you kind of, like, step up and you're like, no, like, we need to do it, like, at this time, or we need to move it earlier, we need to move it later. And so, I would love to just kind of hear, like, what that process is like when you're working with a couple, how do you kind of build that trust where you could tell them no, and they're like, okay, yeah, you're right, we shouldn't do that.
Oh, completely. So I guess you hear it all the time that people say that, like, they put their customers first and customers always right. But I truly feel like I live and die by the statement that, like, I put my customers first, and I'm always in their corner to support them and get them, you know, what they're looking for and what their design intent is or what their dream is for the day. Or, you know, is that third location really that essential to making your day perfect? Or is it, you know, having more time at the second location, is that more important? So I really dig deep in with my clients, even just from the consultation. I spend more than half of my consultation just learning about you, what you like, how you met, where you like to hang out. Do you have a dog? Are you cat people? Do you like to, are you outdoorsy? Are, you know, I try and get a better feeling for who they are as people and as a couple so that I can start to kind of predict their values going forward. Like, I have some clients that are like, I do not care what the cake looks like as long as there's dessert. Like, you know, there's always things that can give and that can be reduced or pulled back on or just eliminated if it's getting in the way of something that you really want to do. Like, if you just have to have that live band, then let's make that work for you if that's more important. So I pride myself in putting them first and just being in their corner on a tough situation or a tough phone call, so that they feel like when they need the help and they need the backup, they can just call me and be like, Blair, you know, we've got this issue. I don't know what to do. They feel like you have a professional in your corner who's going to come and back you up and, you know, swoop in and save the day. Even for some of my like lower packages, I am always happy to like tune into a call that's, you know, really driving them crazy or a contract that's, you know, overly complex, you know, this like legalese verbiage that sometimes it just like drives people crazy and they can't, they're like, so can I have red wine or can I not have red wine? I don't understand. I pride myself in being there for them and, you know, navigating that. And obviously my full planning clients, just, they expect that and they expect that as part of the service, but you know, it's always something that I'm willing to do to help this process for my clients. Like, some things just hold you up and they get in the way of it being a peaceful process, and just jumping in and kind of saving the day can really go a long way in a short period of time. Because I'm used to these things. One thing my clients always say that cracks me up is that, yeah, I don't plan a lot of weddings. I'm like, you don't? Really? So I understand. I know where you're coming from. You know, I was at a point too where I didn't plan a lot of weddings either. And now I plan 20 a year. So I have the experience. I've heard the questions. I've heard the commentary. So I already know kind of what to expect and what to look for and how to kind of proactively be prepared for you.
When would you say that a couple is normally reaching out to you? Like, when in their process, you know, like they just got engaged, is it like immediately? Is it like after the venue? Is it when they realize they're in over their head? when do they normally come to you?
It's a little bit of everything, actually. So what I found is that it's sort of when people reach out to me and it's like more than a year in advance, they're usually looking for like a full planning scenario. Like, they just know they're already in over their head just looking for a venue, and they know that they need guidance. They need recommendations. They need a little bit of extra care and handholding just to like get them through even those first processes. And those are usually full planning clients. I'm usually with them every step of the way, you know, maybe 12 to 18 months out. Then I found that if people reach out more like the 9 to 12 month range, like, yeah, we're just hitting the 1 year. We got our venue, we got a caterer, but like, I don't know what else to do. I don't know what my next steps are. Those are usually people kind of in what I call the partial planning category. Like, they have their concept, their design, they got all their imagery, they know where they're going, but they just don't know exactly how to get there. And so those people usually reach out kind of around the 1 year mark, maybe even a little bit earlier. Sometimes clients reach out and they're like, yeah, I want a full planner, but I want to pick my venue and I want to pick my florist and I want to find this and I'm going to go to all the meetings. I'm like, well, you know, let's right size this. Like, I don't, of course, like, I'm here as a businesswoman trying to make money, and you know, there's that. But also, if you really want to be super involved and do the digging yourself, maybe you don't need as much as, you know, you think you do. And then same goes for day of coordination. I get a lot of calls for day of coordination. Those are people anywhere in the like 6 to 12 month range, they're realizing that like they got everything picked out, they have all their vendors, but they just don't know how to pull it all together. They don't know how to make the timeline. They don't know how to gauge the photography. And they're constantly upgrading their packages out of like nervousness. They're like, oh, maybe I need 12 hours of photography. Maybe I need this. And I'm like, no, 8's fine. I promise I can make 8 work. So those people are a little all over the board. I have taken clients as close as 30 days out. Someone hired me on Black Friday for their Christmas Day wedding. And I was like, doing anything else, like I can do it. So I took them on and it was great. And we had, loads of fun. And I just told them, I was like, we're going to have to meet at this coffee shop, pre-COVID, obviously. Mm-hmm. We're going to meet at this coffee shop every Monday night at 5:30 and we're going to work. And they're like, okay. And it was fine. But that's a commitment. And, I tell people that are replanning or planning their wedding, you can plan a wedding in 90 days if you really want to, but you have to be committed to what that's going to take. So clients reach out at all different times in the process, which I love because, I get clients that are a year out and they've got everything figured out, but they want me. They want help. They want that reassurance. And then I have clients that reach out 6 months before their wedding and they're like, oh yeah, I don't have a photographer. And I'm like, oh, okay. You're one of them. Let's figure this out. Thankfully, I have such a great vendor network that I'm able to, reach out to lots of people and provide them with options fairly quickly, no matter, what point in the process they are.
It sounds like there's kind of a lot of different types of clients you could have. You have the mm-hmm. ones, like you were saying, where they just got married and, I mean, sorry, not, they just got married. They probably don't need you, but if they just got engaged. Yeah. They just got engaged and they're like, you know what? We're busy. We just want someone to handle this for us. And we need to find someone. They can find us like, 3 photographers, 3 florists, whatever it is. We'll check off which one we like and then kind of keep going down the list. You have some that maybe like they get in halfway and they just need kind of help. Maybe they have the place, but they need help finding the vendors or whatever it might be. And then you have the ones that are like, at the end and they just kind of need that wrap up, and they need you to help kind of finalize and bring it all together. And so how do you structure like packages and pricing with that? Like, do you have packages or is it always kind of like a custom built thing because every wedding is so different?
Yeah, that's a fair question. I do have distinct packages. I have my day of, my partial, and my full planning packages. And they're kind of templated out. But what I've found that I always do a consultation call with every new couple that I meet just to see sort of where they actually fit in. And, I've had plenty of situations, just had one last week where they, they were just day of, they were on the ball, they were killing it, everything was fine. COVID happens, pandemic sets in, they need some more help, they might pivot to a new venue, they need more assistance navigating that. So I'm always happy to like upgrade as we go. It's hard to downgrade because it's hard to say like where we stopped needing each other, that sort of thing. But I do have some clients that will like cautiously under package, and then they'll be like, oh, I do need some more help, or I'm really lost in this. So I found that just kind of starting with like a basic package, having them tier up, having the pricing be really simple, and then having lots of little add-ons. Like for my day of coordination package, I stopped including rehearsal assistants because, in Chicago, I do lots of big, huge Catholic weddings and their church is no frills. This is going to be the way it's going to be, like no questions asked. So do you really need me? Do you really need that extra time? Like, if you want me there, I want to be there. Of course, I love big church weddings. But at the end of the day, it's a little tiny spot to maybe have a little bit of savings. And then, for partial, I just include that. That's just part of the package. Like, that's the point of upgrading. So, you get a couple little extra add-ons. I offer RSVP management to my clients that just like do not even want to think about, calling all of their guests and figuring out if they're actually coming. That's an add-on. Some clients just have a lot of DIY and they kind of underestimate that too. So, we have like sliding scales for like level of DIY and like distance too. So, I've done some very, very rural farm weddings and they're great, but I have to drive 100 miles out into the cornfield to get to you. And then I have to drive home. So, we have to put that into perspective. And, you know, if it's highly DIY, we need extra assistance. If we're kind of out in the middle of nowhere and we need a target run, sometimes that can be, you know, a little challenging. So I always kind of start with my base package. I never send pricing, just like shoot it out to them and be like, hey, you know, it's going to be X. I always call them, get a better understanding of what their, you know, headcount, bridal party size, level of DIY, you know, where their events are going to be. And so that I can analyze how many people I'm going to need to bring on the day of. And I found it works really well. There's been a couple clients where you're just like, yep, I underestimated that one.
I'm sure this happens to you. It happens to me a lot where, you know, I get an email and like the first thing is like, what's pricing? And that's like all they ask. And so yeah. I would love to hear like how you kind of pivot around that. Cause I could imagine, I mean, even for myself, it's like, it's very hard to just be like reply with an email of like, here's our pricing, because it's like, I don't know what they're looking for. Especially nowadays, it's like some weddings are like 3 hours long. Some weddings are still normal. So it's like, yeah, you know, it's hard to just be like, yeah, we have this package, but then it's like, it might not even appeal to them. So what do you do to try to pivot them around that like roadblock of what's your prices and to get like an actual conversation
yeah,
going?
I will say that I had listened to a lot of other podcasts and a lot of other people be like, you know, never give your pricing out, never tell them anything, like get them on the call, like seal the deal, you know, was that like ABC, always be closing. So I was really strict on that for a long time, and I'll be totally honest, it worked. Like people will either get on the call. I'm like, it's a free consultation. It'll take 15 minutes. You know, it always goes over, but I'm like, it'll take 15 minutes. It'll be fun. We'll get to know each other. And that's my fact finding mission. You know, they think they're calling to get information about me, but I'm getting information about them the whole time. So it worked for a long time. I have found that like during the pandemic, people are extremely budget conscious. And so I have been kind of phrasing it, like, especially if they're like, they'll email me like 5 or 6 times, but won't schedule the call. And, cause usually the first one's like, hey, congratulations. So excited to meet you. Your venue is gorgeous. I love this location. Blah, blah, blah. I, you know, something personal. And then I'm like, I would love to learn more about your wedding. Here's my link to Calendly, like pick a time that works for you. We'll chat for 15 minutes and I'll send you a proposal right after the call. Either people click the link, schedule the meeting. It like, it moves on. Like they don't even think about it, especially now in like Zoom world. Like everyone's like, oh yeah, I'll schedule a meeting, click and it's done. The ones that like email and email and email, sometimes I will just give them like a range. Like, you know, depending on where your venue is, or, you know, if the intake actually gives me that, I'll be like, you know, based on your venue, your package would start at X and it could go up to Y. If you want full planning, you know, it would start here and escalate. We have lots of add-ons like rehearsal and RSVP. And I just kind of like entice them with all of the things that they could get. I also like buried deep down on my website, I have like packages start at blah, blah, blah. So sometimes they already know that too. And I think sometimes they're just trying to like check, like, is that really the price? Which is fine. And I understand that my pricing is not in everyone's budget. And I am okay with that. I don't want to do everyone's wedding. So I don't scoff at it as much as I used to, just because if I'm in your budget, let's talk. If I'm not, maybe I can recommend you to someone else or help you in another way. And a lot of times if people are like, yeah, you know, we ended up going a different direction because of budget, when I know that they're compromising experience and expertise for budget, I always like throw bone like, hey, here's my recommended vendor list. I wish you two the very best. If you ever have any questions, like follow me on Instagram. I'd love to chat or something like that, just so that we can always be a touch point if they do need something in the future. I've had people like fire their planner and come hire me later. So like it pays off just to kind of like nurture that relationship, love on them a little. Like you see them pop up on Instagram, you'll send a proposal. Then like a month later, they pop up on Instagram. Then like a month later, they hire you. And like, it was all worth it, you know? So I just gauge it by if they don't immediately click on the link and just schedule the meeting so I can do a little fact finding, then I try and give them a little bit of information. And I've actually been having lately a lot of moms and dads reaching out like, hey, you know, Jack and Jill are getting married and they're really overwhelmed. You know, we're trying to help them out. And mom and dad always want to know the pricing up front. So sometimes it's hard to get them on the phone. Also, once they do schedule the appointment, I usually never tell them pricing on the phone unless, because I always give them an opportunity, like, what questions do you have for me at the end of the call? Usually by then they're sold one way or the other. They don't really care what it costs. It's pretty rare that someone asks me the price on the phone. I would say maybe like one out of 20 ask me pricing on the phone, unless they tell me like my budget's X and I'm like, okay, here's the services I can provide up until that point, up until that price point. And I've had that happen too, where some clients are like, I need you, I want you, but like, I can't afford you. What can we do up until my budget? I'm fine with that. Maybe I leave when dinner starts. You know, maybe I do all the design, all the timeline, all the vendor coordination, everything else. I do the setup on the day of, and then, you know, kind of put it in the hands of someone else.
There's this fear of sharing our price because we're afraid, you know, we're going to sticker shock them or something, you know, and, mm-hmm. and there's no context yet. You know, like there's totally. On a website, might be a little bit of verbiage about who you are. There might be some examples of what you do.
Or they've interviewed like 5 other people, so they think it's that.
Yeah, maybe they're comparing, you know, they think it's apples to apples where it's really like apples to like chocolate cake, you know, like it's just like yeah. two totally different things, even yeah. though like you're both wedding planners, you know, one might be a totally different type of service. Just like, you know, for me, it's like there's so many different ways to make a wedding video. You know, you have kind of the old school style of like just one camera, old camera, might not even be HD, who knows. And then you have like a whole other side where there's like people bringing like 4 or 5 cameras, a drone, lighting, audio, multiple people. You know, there's so many different layers. And so to just like look at a price or like a package sheet from one person and be comparing to another, they're just two totally different things. And so I think sometimes people get fearful to share anything, but I also think it is, like you were saying, it is beneficial to at least give them some kind of information. Because I know for myself, if I'm shopping around for stuff, I want to at least have an idea of what I'm getting into, you know, like
totally.
Into it.
You want to know if it's even worth the consult.
Right.
Because you're wasting your own time, their time, you know, maybe they're bringing mom in on the call. Like, you know, a lot of people come in on these consultation calls and it's like, okay, this took a lot of coordination and now you're not going to hire me because I'm too expensive and maybe you... And then there's always the other caveat that once they finally meet you or they get more information, they just love you so much that they don't care and they make other things in the budget work. So it can work to your benefit. I would tell people at least give like some insight of information. You don't have to give the exact number. It's not official till the proposal gets sent. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And you just have to give yourself that kind of freedom and like wiggle room and never like nail down a number until you're ready to commit to that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think after you've been doing this for so long, you know, like when you're starting out, it could be easy to be like, I just want to take any and every wedding I can get. So I don't want them to know my price because I want to just talk to them because, you know, I'm okay with, you know, discounting or whatever it is. And so, but when you've been doing this long enough, you kind of know what couples you're looking for. So you're almost kind of maybe using that price range as like a filter. For us, if it's like they want to spend $500 on a video, but like for an all day type package and stuff, and they're never going to budge on that. Like they're just not interested that much in video. They're just kind of doing it because they were told to do it, you know? Like they're probably not the right client for us to begin with. So I would hate to like, you know, waste my time, waste their time. We're on a phone call. We talk for 30 minutes and then next thing I know, they're like, yeah, we're not spending any more than $500. Then it's just like, we could have solved this by me just like having that minimum price on the website and just being transparent with them.
I think that the website pricing, it is helpful to a certain extent. I think it's good. And it just sort of filters people out and allows them to just know a little bit more about you. Like I'm sure I've lost clients from that sticker shock, but you know what? We would have gone through all the trouble. I would have fallen in love with you guys. And then, you know, we would have gone to work together. Like I get genuinely sad when some people don't hire me. I'm like, dang it, that wedding sounded like so much fun. Like, I can't believe I'm missing out. But in the same respect, you know, I'm here to run a business and they're here to get a service and we just have to right size it so that we are on the same page together.
Definitely. Cool. Well, we're going to take a quick break and then we will be right back. Hey friends, I just wanted to hop in here real quick to let you know about an awesome opportunity that I am getting to partner up with. So a local library in my area has asked me to do a presentation on going from being a creative to a business owner and what that process looks like. So I would love to invite you to join in. What's great is it's all virtual, so you don't have to be in the Chicagoland area to check it out, and it's totally free and sponsored by the library. So what I would ask for you to do is to go to the description of the show notes and find the link and register, and I would love to see you there. Again, it'll be on February 25th in the evening, and I hope that you can make it. Thanks. So we are back with Blair, and I wanted to get into a topic that I think is very important for all vendors and venues to just know a little bit more about. So I wanted to have a planner on early because in a lot of ways, I feel like a planner kind of holds the keys to the kingdom. You know, if they're coming to you first, you know, you're kind of in charge to help them find their photographer, videographer, florist, maybe even venue, church, all that kind of stuff could be your responsibility. And so you're going to probably be recommending people that you like and trust and things like that. So, you know, my question for you is like, how would a venue or a vendor kind of get on your good side, as you will, and to get on your list? Like, if, you know, if I'm a videographer, I make this really cool video and I'm sending you, you know, this video, is that going to be enough or does it take more than that?
Yeah. No, I think that's an excellent question. And I'm sure a lot of people, especially like newer planners, they probably are like, how do I develop this? My thing is that I never put anyone on my list that I haven't actually physically worked with, shook their hand, you know, elbow bumped them COVID style. Like there's no one on my list that I don't know personally and that I couldn't text or call or email at any time and send my clients to them and feel 100% like they'd be taken care of. I have my big preferred list, and I also have a really, really, really extensive like vendor Bible where it's just like, yeah, here's another, you know, 72 cake bakers, but these four are the best. And I find that that's what my clients are looking for specifically is they're like, yeah, you know, I go on the Knot and there's 300 photographers just in my area. How do I even begin, you know, after pricing? Okay. Once you knock, you know, off all the $6,000 photographers and you knock off all the like less than 3,000, there's still a ton in their price range. And they're just like, I don't even know how to begin. I sent in my vendor list and I'm like, oh, hey, look, these two people are on that list. Cool. Okay. I'll just call them. So my clients know that the people on my list, I know them personally. I may actually be friends with them and hang out with them. But if they are looking for more people, I do know more people. They just might not be on the little list. And what I found the best way is just to actually work together. I mean, there's tons of weddings that people come to me and they already have all their vendors figured out. I have like never met this photographer before. Now here I am this wedding day. I'm like, all right, cool. I get to start from square one with this guy. It's basically an interview. I'm interviewing them. They're interviewing me. Neither of us say it. It's just this like unspoken rule that we're just like silently judging each other all day. And I think it's good because you really don't know a person until you see them working in an action. Like I'm looking at, how do you treat my client? How are you talking to the couple? How are you communicating with the bridal party and the guests and mom? And how are you speaking to me? Are you trying to make this a collaborative day or are you just kind of like off doing your own thing? You know, I've worked with some, you know, sorry to pick on photographers, but you're right here in front of me and it's just really easy to do. You know, I've worked with some photographers that just are like completely oblivious to the timeline. And I'm like, dinner was supposed to start 30 minutes ago. We're all just watching you out the window taking photos. Like literally everyone's in the dining room just like watching. I'm like, this is not a collaboration anymore. Everyone has a bad day, but you can't bring that to someone else's wedding day. You know, I've had vendors that have just like totally spazzed and totally flaked. And I'm like, we're just going to fix this. We're never going to tell the bride or the groom or whomever or mom. And we're just going to fix this. And then just know deep down that I can't recommend you in good conscience. Like after this happened, like I love to give my like vendor friends, you know, recommendations on Google and the Knot and all that sort of thing. I mean, you and I have done that for each other. And it's great when you can see that support from other vendors that, you know, you've worked together and worked together well, but something goes crazy. Like unless it's just a total fluke or totally out of our control, you know, it's hard to look past that. So I found that working together on a project, you know, preferably an actual wedding day is great, but like even styled shoots, I love doing shoots because it gives you just like this free opportunity to work with someone with no repercussions. Even styled shoots can be a really good representation of people's, of their work, their quality, and how they communicate. And really it just comes down to that communication. When we're at this wedding, it's a long day. We're all on our feet. We're all hungry. We're all thirsty. Like, let's chat. Let's get to know each other. Use this time. And there have been so many weddings where literally the next day I go to my vendor list and I'm just like, I just add Travis right on there because I know that he was great to work with and no questions asked. And then there's other times that, you know, I look for a second project or something else to work with them on and see how to develop that relationship.
You know, I think the timeline is really important to kind of discuss and go over because, you know, I had an example of a wedding I had last year where the planner, she was a professional planner, but she was also a friend. And so she wasn't as like, she wasn't giving them like the full service. It was kind of more like day of coordination or whatever. And so, and it was a very confusing day. It was a lot of like travel and not enough time between things and stuff. So after I talked to the couple, I kind of had this like not so great feeling of like this schedule is very all over the place and we don't have a transportation plan and, you know, all this stuff. And it was last year. So with COVID, it's like, you know, everyone's freaked out about riding in cars with each other and stuff. And so, so I called up the photographer and we came up with a plan. And we had that plan. And then the next step was, you know, I was going to call the band, which a lot of times bands can be a little tricky to get a hold of because it's like they might not have a dedicated kind of point person.
Yeah. Who's your contact?
Yeah. And so we never really got to discuss things with them, but like me and the photographer were good. And then like a week before the wedding, the planner had finally kind of reached out and she was like, here's the schedule of everything. And it was totally different than what the photographer and I planned. And we tried kind of suggesting to her like our plan. And she's like, oh no, I already confirmed all this with the venue and they're set on dinner and, you know, all these kind of things. And it was just like a huge mess. And so the day of, we made it work and everything turned out fine. And there's like on, when you see like the final products and how the day went and everything, it's like, you wouldn't know there's all this going on, but it was a lot of complications that came up the whole day, like just being late to things and like not being able to get around when we needed to and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I say all that with kind of a question for you of like, as a, you know, say I'm a photographer or a DJ and I'm working this wedding where they have a planner who's been doing all this stuff. What's like the best way to reach out to someone like you and to kind of get on the same page and to give suggestions of timing and things like that?
Totally. So what I do is about 3 to 4, even if it's just, even for like base packages, like 3 to 4, for like a just day of coordination, 3 to 4 months out, I reach out to everyone on the vendor list. Like by 3 months out, we better have everyone figured out. I don't like last minute vendors. Nobody likes last minute contracts. So usually by 3 to 4 months, we've got everything figured out. And I reach out to everybody and just kind of like, here's the big moves. We're going to do a first look. We're going to do ceremony. Then, you know, I just kind of give them like the rough times. How long do you take to set up? What do you need? Where are you coming from? Like, should we buffer in more time? This, that, the other thing. And I reach out just for that like initial conversation and go back and filter that into the timeline. And, you know, some DJs take 30 minutes to set up. Some take an hour and 30 minutes. You just have to know. And I always buffer in extra time. The latest I've ever had a ceremony run is like 3 minutes late. That's like my latest ceremony. Dinner, I can't control that as much. So I would say like dinner speech is maybe like 10 to 15 minutes late, but the like German, you know, preciseness comes out of me in these moments where I just like things to be on time. So I like to get as much information as possible. And it comes back to communication. Once again, you know, I try and start that early. Where some planners maybe don't, or they kind of figure that we'll wrap it up in the last few minutes. But I like to get as much information as I can earlier on. And I found that it really works for me and my style. And then, you know, for my full planning clients, they already know I'm the planner like a year in advance. But that's the caveat, is that for just day of coordination, they might not even know that I'm involved. You know, they might not know that the client has a planner and that they could reach out to me. So I try and get that information out there as early as possible. So, you know, come to me with your questions. Like sometimes a bride doesn't even, you know, my couple might not even have an answer. They might be like, okay, cool. I'm just going to ask Blair. I've found that the earlier, the better that you can reach out to like the whole team, just so that they know you're the point person. There's some vendors that don't really want to be pestered until closer to the day. Cause like DJs, they're like, I can't figure out how to pronounce your guys' names until like the night before. Like, I don't need that information right away. What I do need is like, what time can I get there to set up and that sort of thing. So just sort of knowing those social cues of like who needs what and when.
I think that's all really good information, and it kind of comes back to the theme of like teamwork. What kind of like things have you seen make for bad teamwork, and what kind of things on a wedding day have you seen that makes for good teamwork?
So for, I mean, good teamwork, when it's working, you don't even notice it. You don't even see it. You think about it later. You're like, oh, wow, that went so smoothly. We were all in sync. We were all flexible. So I think it just keeps coming back to like talking it out, having proper communication, being informed ahead of time, arriving the day of with all the right information, with all your right tools, you know, providing the most professional response to the situation as you can. You know, like when someone shows up and they're like, what time's the ceremony? I'm like, you know, I sent you that timeline 3 times. I sent it at 3 months. I sent it at 1 month. I sent it at 2 weeks. And I usually send it the night before, just so that it's like the first email on your email list. I realize things get buried, you know, especially in like a busy wedding season. So you should have it. And even if you don't, you should be able to find it pretty easily. So that's always kind of like, sometimes that can like just set a bad tone. Like the second you show up and someone's like, what's the timeline for today? I'm like, please refer to previous email. Thank you very much. Bad teamwork, it spirals, and you can smell it a mile away. You can see when there's, you know, a vendor that just isn't really with it, isn't paying attention, doesn't have their timeline, or has little regard for it, because it's a busy day. There's, you know, contemporary couples are cramming a lot into their day. They want a first look and photos and multiple locations, and they want toasts and this and or games. I had a client who wanted to play a game during the reception, and I was like, we can do that. Yeah, I can do that. I can do a game during reception. I mean, I've never done it since, but it was fun. So it's that fine line between like being your most professional version of yourself, but also being flexible, because like stuff's going to happen and it's going to be out of your control. You know, the steaks are going to come early. The chicken's going to come late. The speeches might go long. You know, I've had some long Father of the Bride speeches. You know, the real key to the teamwork is being in good communication through the whole process, and then just being flexible on the day of and realizing that it's not going to go exactly the way you planned, but it's still going to go perfectly.
Though, you know, the day of is important to kind of, you know, maybe get on your radar and build that good teamwork. A lot of it actually kind of starts before the wedding, you know,
it's totally.
Like reaching out beforehand, like don't just like show up the day and that's when you're meeting everyone, like send out an email beforehand. Or if you want to even go a step further, like call someone, you know, and just be like, hey, I'm so-and-so, you know, I'm going to be the DJ and, you know, it's nice to, you know, I'm looking forward to working with you or whatever it is. It really kind of sets a tone. I know I do that with other vendors where we have to maybe interact a little bit more. So like the DJ is a good example. Like, you know, for us to be able to plug into the sound system is like crucial. And I don't want to be that guy that, you know, just shows up and, you know, I go up to the DJ and I'm like, hey, I need to, you know, touch your expensive equipment and plug my audio recording device into your equipment. You know, it all started in an email, like maybe a month before the wedding, where I was like, hey, I'm Travis, you know, I'm going to be shooting the video for the wedding. Just want to say hello. And then maybe like a week before, once we've kind of talked, I'll just be like, hey, just, you know, reminding you that I'll be there at the wedding, you know, just to give you a heads up, to get the best audio, we might need your help and we might want to plug into your board. Is that going to be okay? And so when I get there, he's already got like the board set up ready for me. Sometimes they even have like wires for me ready to go, and I'm just plugging in, and there's no, you know, awkwardness of like, hey, I just met you, but I'm going to ask you a favor right away. So, you know,
yeah, I love starting a conversation with like, hi, I have a favor.
Right. And so it really helps, and it helps speed up things too, because, you know, as someone who doesn't want to just get into that conversation and immediately be asking a favor, usually what happens is if I haven't talked to the DJ before the wedding, you know, I go up, I say hello, and then I'll kind of like try to start small talk or like maybe walk away and come back just so like he doesn't feel like I'm bombarding him, you know? And, but exactly. Like at the same time, it's like, I'm kind of wasting time. Whereas like we could already just been on the same page ahead of time and, you know, really? just rolling.
Yeah. I mean, it works for all vendors. I feel like if the earlier they can get just that little bit of communication started. And again, so it's not some stranger being like, hi, can I touch your really expensive equipment? Cause I need a thing.
Yeah.
I've also started giving like a social media handle and a like in print, you know, like how you want your name to be in print, just, you know, that couple days before the event. That way, the day of, you can be posting things on Instagram or Facebook. You can be tagging all the right people and giving credit where credit's due, and just kind of allows everybody to be like, they have a nice little record, like, oh yeah, I've worked with Bella before. This is great. Cool. You know, and they'll start to have those records.
That's like super helpful too, because I know like for me, we try to get that information, you know, from the couple. Like we actually have on our questionnaire, there's a line that's like, who are your vendors? What's their phone number, email, and their social media handle? And we have some couples that are amazing and they actually will like go and find all that. But, you know, some of them, that's just like one where they're like, skip, you know, and then they don't, and then we don't have any of that. So we have to go like, find all that ourselves.
Like they put like one thing in there, you know, like I'll have, especially for like really big DJ companies, they'll put like the name of the DJ company. And I'm like, okay, so like, is it Dustin or is it Josh or is it Jared or is it like, who is it? And, you know, so I'm digging that information out, and that's why I use Aisle Planner, which is an online platform for like doing my timelines and all that kind of stuff. And it's been really helpful because I can just keep all those contacts in there and I can just drag and drop them into my client's project, into their wedding. So, you know, if something gets added, it just starts to populate and starts to show up, which is great and very helpful. And I can make like a really fast contact list and be like, here's all of our people.
It kind of adds to the experience, I think, too. Like if you're, you know, like a lot of times as like photo, video, DJ, florist, we're very focused on our task. And not to say that the planner isn't. Obviously, you're very focused on making sure that we're on time and making sure things are where they need to be. But it's kind of cool, like when I do work with a planner and they're almost like capturing behind the scenes, like for the couple and kind of for us, because like sometimes we get so caught up in what we're doing that we don't really have time. You know, like we're documenting with an actual camera. So a lot of times we don't have time to like pull out our cell phone and to be, you know, doing that. So to, you know, for you to be doing that and being like, here's the florist, you know, setting up and this is, look at the flowers they're using and stuff, and for you to be posting that and then tagging all of us, it just kind of adds to the experience, not just for us, but also I think for the couple. And it's like, wow, I feel like a celebrity. I'm on Blair's Instagram right now, and like, you know, they're sharing from the wedding and they're tagging everyone, and it becomes kind of like a cool experience for them and for all the vendors, which is really cool.
Yeah, it adds a lot. And it's fun to send to the clients like the next day too, because I'll do that in like the, you know, next day or maybe even Monday, I'll like shoot them a little email like, hey, here's all the little like crummy iPhone photos I took. And they're like, oh, those are the ones that like pop up as their profile picture like the next day, you know, because they're like, oh, it's like the only picture I have of me in my dress or whatever. And so it's been fun. And, you know, especially right now where content is kind of low, it's still fun to be like, hey, look, we're still doing stuff. Love is not canceled. People are still getting married. Parties, albeit small, are still happening. So it's, I've really enjoyed it. I'm glad to hear from the other side of the table that, you know, other people are enjoying it. Because at the end of the wedding, my job kind of ends. I have a little bit of follow-up, but, you know, that's when the real work for like the photographer and the videographer and that's where their real work starts. And, you know, they get really hot and heavy with editing and everything after that, where I'm kind of like, and I'm done. I'm going to get to go relax, send them a couple thank you emails, you know. So it's nice to be able to share and give back a little bit.
Well, Blair, thanks for joining me. I think this was really good. I think there was a ton of insightful information, so I appreciate all of that. Wrap up here, where can people find you if they want to follow your work? You know, share anything cool you have going on, just anything you want to kind of leave everyone with.
Totally. I'm all over Instagram at BW_events. And I'm on Facebook with the same handle. My website's really informative. There's a little bit of pricing in there. But yeah, usually the best place to find me and reach out is just chat with me on Instagram or shoot me an email. And I'm always happy to talk about collaborations or projects. I'm doing two styled shoots coming up in March and April, which I'm very excited about. Whole new crew of people. I've hardly worked with any of them, so I'm really excited. It's like an opportunity to kind of get to know them a little bit better and spend some time with people. I'm trying to like make up for lost time since I have no February, March, or April weddings. that's the best way to find me. And I'm always up for a chat or a coffee or a virtual Zoom date or what have you.
Say someone's listening and they're local to the Chicagoland area and they're like, I really like what Blair has going on. It seems like she really knows her stuff. How do I get on her radar? Would you say like a style shoot is a really good way to do that?
Yeah, I would say that'd be an awesome way just so that we can like collaborate on a little project together. And whether it's going to be like a full-fledged giant shoot like I'm doing in March, or if it's just going to be like something small or a project, or even like I've been doing some smaller like styled parties with people, which has been a lot of fun. You know, gives us some content, gives us some time to collaborate. But at the end of the day, it's not, you know, a huge, huge undertaking. So I would love that. You know, reach out to collaborate or even just, I love coffee dates. Like that's like the biggest thing I've missed out on is not being able to just like go grab coffee and chat and look through portfolios of each other's work. And I'd love to get to know other vendors better. This is a perfect time to do it. You know, we finally have the time and brain space to like absorb new information. So we should take advantage of it.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Blair. I appreciate you being on. This was awesome. And
yeah,
till next time, we'll see you around.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.